So for the next 3 weeks, we're going to enter the world of this parable told by Jesus and illustrated by Vincent van Gogh in this painting. When Jesus wanted to teach those around him, he often told stories called parables, in which he painted word pictures. Jesus' parables tend to be open-ended. They spark the imagination so that those who hear might envision themselves living and working toward the new reality he proclaimed. The parables are like a seed full of life-giving potential. When dropped into the soil of listening ears and open hearts, this potential breaks open and grows. We're going to dwell in this parable for each of the next 3 Sundays. Today, we will think about the seeds of the parable as we consider the financial resources we have been given, where we're planting them, and how we decide what to give through the church to God's work in the world. Next Sunday, we'll focus on the sower of the parable. Finally, on October 28th, we'll consider the soil and its yield of abundant harvest. We're listening for what this parable teaches us about our role as disciples, sowers of the seeds of the gospel, who seek to live in the world for the sake of the growth of the kingdom of God. So before we listen to the parable, let us turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for planting in our hearts the seed of your word. Now give us ears to hear your word and hearts where this seed can grow. Break us open to the life-giving potential of the gospel that you have entrusted to us in Christ. Amen. And now listen to the parable as it is told in the Gospel of Mark. In each of the next 3 Sundays, we'll also be hearing it out of a different gospel. This morning is Mark's gospel. I'm going to read just the parable itself, not its interpretation today. And then I'm going to read another verse at the end of it that says something about Jesus' purpose in telling parables. Listen now for God's word to you. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there, while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil, and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears listen." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So how do you decide where to sow the seeds you have been given? This is the question of the day. The seed-embedded leaf you received this morning is meant to represent your financial resources. The money you earn, spend, save, invest, and give. How do you decide what happens with your money? As you sit with that question, let's put ourselves on this Palestinian hillside in the company of the crowd that has gathered to hear what an itinerant rabbi named Jesus has to say. He's taken a seat in a boat, and from his vantage point on the water, Jesus tells a story that conjures the image of a farmer sowing grain in a field in Galilee. Golden seed, rich with life, is thrown from a pouch with a steady, rhythmic swing of the sower's arm, covering the whole area from which the sower already anticipates a crop. There's been no plowing of this field ahead of time. Instead, this sower first sows the seed and then plows it into the soil. Clumps of thistles will disappear with the plowing, just as rock will be revealed only when the blade of the plow strikes it. The sower's seeds fall anywhere and everywhere, and we may be bothered by the apparent waste of effort and seed, as some falls in rocks, among thorns, on a path hard as concrete. Until Jesus says, even the wasted seed becomes food for the birds. And by the story's end, despite three instances of seed ending up in less than hospitable places, there are also 3 degrees of increasingly abundant yield, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Apparently, this sown seed is rich with promise. Sown seed. Which brings us back to the question of the day. How do you decide where to sow the seeds you have been given? Our attitudes, practices, and habits in dealing with money are often developed more from observation than conversation. We learn from parents, other family members, friends, and society in general, often subconsciously, and then either follow their lead or make a point of doing something different. Rarely do we talk about this question, except perhaps with our financial advisor. Rarely do we stop to think about why we do what we do with our money and what it has to do with our discipleship. Growing up, I saw the offering envelope on the kitchen table every Sunday morning like clockwork. And I received coins to put in my own little envelope and waited eagerly for the plate to get to me in the pew so I could drop my offering into it. But I never knew how it was decided what went into those envelopes and why. Almost by default, many of us learn through experience or osmosis rather than intentional teaching, either by our families of origin or by the church. Don't you think it's time we changed this practice of not talking about, perhaps not even thinking about, why we do what we do with what we earn, save, spend, and give? I know that many of you think of this annual giving emphasis as something to be endured, a necessary but often tedious exercise, not unlike those fundraising appeals on NPR, when what we want to hear is suspended so we can listen to the pitch that gets us to give money to the cause, and we push the button that turns the radio off. Before you do that to me, I'd urge you to consider that when we talk about money in the church, we're talking about a very concrete way that the kingdom of God draws near in our lives. We're talking about a way of tending our souls so that we can see and use our wealth properly, faithfully, as an instrument to invest in the growth of God's kingdom. Taking seriously and wrestling deeply with the question of what we do with our money is every bit as much a part of our formation as disciples of Jesus as our practices of worship, prayer, and Bible study. Rather than leaving it to default or osmosis, when our decisions and actions come from deep awareness of and commitment to the values lived and taught by Jesus, this can be life-changing. It can combat the subversive power money plays in our lives, It can also be a powerful way we share the gospel, a witness that activates the life-giving potential Jesus places in our hands. To illustrate this connection between what we value and what we do with the seed entrusted to us, I want you to watch, of all things, two commercials that are like mini parables. The first commercial comes to us from...
How do we work so hard?
Oh, hold on a second.
For this?
Okay. The first commercial comes to us from Cadillac. The second is a spoof on Cadillac from Ford. That's right, two automakers competing for our dollars and our loyalties. Imagine that. Watch with a playful spirit and notice how the words and visual images seek to connect with viewers around common values. All right, let's watch them back to back.
Why do we work so hard? For what? For this? For stuff? Other countries, they work, they stroll home, they stop by the cafe, they take August off. Off. Why aren't you like that? Why aren't we like that?
Because we're crazy, driven, hardworking believers, that's why.
Those other countries think we're nuts. Whatever. Were the Wright brothers insane? Bill Gates, Les Paul, Ali. Were we nuts when we pointed to the moon? That's right. We went up there, you know what we got? Bored. So we left. Got a car up there, left the keys in it. Do you know why? Because we're the only ones going back up there, that's why. But I digress. It's pretty simple. You work hard, you create your own luck, and you gotta believe anything is possible. As for all the stuff, well, that's the upside of only taking 2 weeks off in August. Booyah.
Why do I work so hard? For what? For this? For dirt? Other countries, they work. They stroll to the market and buy locally grown food. Locally. Why aren't we like that?
Well, more and more of us are like that. Because we're crazy entrepreneurs trying to make the world better.
Some people might think we're nuts. Whatever.
Me? I collect food scraps from restaurants, manure from zoos. Manure. Do you know why?
To keep this stuff out of landfills and use it to make good, rich dirt. That's why.
Yeah, look, it's pretty simple. You work hard, you believe that anything is possible, and you try to make the world better. You try. As for helping a city grow good, green, healthy vegetables, that's the upside of giving a damn. N'est-ce pas?
Maybe we should call them parodies rather than parables. They are blatant and crystal clear. What do the viewer values shapes the answer to the question, why do we work so hard? And not so incidentally, the automakers hope, what the viewer values also drives what the viewer buys. It shapes what the consumer does with his or her money. No surprise there. There's a direct correlation between what we value and where we sow our seeds. Or to flip it around, where we sow our seeds shows what we value. As Jesus once said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so today we gather as his disciples, as his followers who are citizens of a realm that transcends nations, communities, even families. The kingdom that drew near in Jesus is that realm where in sovereignty and generosity, God creates a world of incredible beauty and abundance and populates it with creatures made in God's own image. Human beings who get to live, enjoy, and share the fruits of all that God has made, all that God gives. Human beings like you and me who sometimes get it right and sometimes get it entirely wrong when it comes to loving God, loving our neighbors, and loving ourselves. Into this realm, Jesus comes sowing seeds that call upon our trust. Jesus sows everywhere and anywhere without undue concern for the soil conditions. Eventually, he will surrender the seed of his own life. It will fall into the soil and die. And in so doing, it will break open and life will begin again. As Jesus puts the seeds of the gospel into the hands of his followers and says, "A sower went out to sow," we get what this parable has to say to you and to me. That sown seed is rich with promise, and so is the kingdom of God. It has to be sown to fulfill its potential. The only question is where you will sow the seeds you hold in your hands so that you may participate in this kingdom that draws near in Jesus, so that you may be shaped by its values and set free by its promises and experience joy by its fruits and find hope even in the hard places. Because the life-giving potential of the seeds is irrepressible. And so is the abundant harvest that will one day be revealed. It has been written that the Latin word credo, translated in English, I believe, also means I set my heart. And so we, in the midst of change, distracted by many possibilities for pleasure and meaning, ask this question of ourselves as we seek somewhere to set our hearts. A place of belonging to God, a place of welcome and love, a safe place for authentic connection where we can express our greatest joy and expose our deepest doubts, a place to love and value others as Christ loves and values us, a place of common purpose and lasting impact, somewhere to hold what we treasure with those who are our treasure, a place to set our hearts. For many, if not all of you gathered here today, Crossroads is such a place. As you consider in the coming weeks how much you will give through the church to further God's growth in our world, and ponder what you value about this place, we're going to hear from some church members who will tell you some stories of their own. First up is the Gabowski family, who we've asked to tell a story about an experience of welcome, encouragement, and embrace in their journey with Christ at Crossroads.
First of all, I am very grateful. We are very grateful for this opportunity to be able to share how God has been moving and working through our church family here. God welcomes us to his family through Christ. He has shared stories of many ways in which he welcomes us into his example, or into his family. For example, the parable of the prodigal son, or even just the story of him coming down to earth through Jesus to be alongside us and with us as we move through this world. He invites us over and over to come to him. He welcomes us in all circumstances, the good times, the bad times. Our family has had the privilege of receiving a taste of this welcome through our church family here at Crossroads. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear him." When I first volunteered to be a leader at VBS, I was terrified. And I walked into the office, and those ladies in the office greeted me wonderfully and gave me the love and encouragement I needed to go teach those kids at VBS.
"Hey, Mommy, there's more than just one time we've been welcome, like the name games at Sunday school in second and third grade with Mr. Carroll. We made friends who got another friend, and we learned the names of those around us who are growing in faith and worshiping Christ around us. Any other ideas?"
"Walking into church for Delta and seeing Mrs. Carroll saying hi, smiling, and hugging."
"Milestones with the hands-on activities that brought me closer to Christ through faith."
"Dancing in the aisles about 5 years ago and today, and getting compliments even in public, like, 'I know you, you're the family with the dancing kids.' We get lots of compliments from church. Any other ideas, you two?"
"Walking into VBS and singing and dancing with my new friends that I just made."
And of course, great getaway. It's 3 nights, 2 days, where you get to meet your church family, get to spend time with them. You get to eat with them, you get to pray with them, you get to know them. It is one of those instances where our family has felt very blessed. So come and join us.
My family is precious to me and a gift from God that helps me understand his great love for us. Many of you have welcomed and or encouraged us in the ways that we've mentioned and really many other ways over the years. In Mark 9:37, Jesus says, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me." We are all God's children, brothers and sisters in Christ, every one of us. As we welcome one another, we are opening our hearts to receive God over and over again. Let's continue to open our hearts to receive God by welcoming all those who walk in our lives, both in these doors and outside these doors. And I encourage you to take some time this week with God to reflect on the ways that you have been welcomed and encouraged by our church family, as we had the privilege of doing and preparing for this. And also ask him where he's calling you to welcome and encourage one another. Thank you.
Thank you for the gift of your presence and your perspective among us. So, what will you give to keep experiences like these going and growing at Crossroads? What will you give to tend the fire in your soul? What will you give to trust God a little more and accumulate stuff a little less? What will you give to say, "I believe, I set my heart here"? Take this leaf home this week and put it where it will keep this question before you until you are ready to answer in the form of a commitment, a pledge that says, "Here I will sow, and this I will give through Crossroads to further God's work in our world." In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.